home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, Locked On Chiefs podcast listeners. I am Seth Kaiser, a Minnesota Chiefs fan with The Athletic, and I am here with the venerable, is the word we're using today, Chris Clark. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you, Seth?
I'm doing very well. Is Chris short for Christopher?
Yes, it is.
We've known each other for a long time, and I have never thought to ask you that. And so from now on, you are the venerable Christopher Clark.
Oh, boy.
I know. So I'll tell you what, you know, I'm finally getting a chance to chat with you. I know you guys have had your reactions and your takes and your all kinds of things. And so I just wanted to make sure. So you're doing okay? You're all right? Life is good?
I'm doing all right. I do want to take a quick second to give a shout out to all the new listeners that we've got. Thank you so much for listening. You're going to hear from us 5 days a week, even during the off season, I believe, is the schedule right now. So just a heads up for all the new listeners. We welcome you to the show. And as Seth said, he is Seth Kaiser from The Athletic. Ryan will normally be with us, but he is out of town right now. And I am Chris Clark, and I am at Locked On Chiefs and Chiefs Digest. Seth, yes, I'm doing okay. My voice is a little bit better now than it was right after the game because I'm screaming at the TV at times.
Yes, but yes, absolutely. Why would you run it in with the 2-minute warning still in the way and the Patriots having so many times? Why would you throw the ball downfield multiple times in that situation? Why? For the love of
honestly,
God, why would you not look at the ball and see where you're lined up? Why?
Ford's done that too many times this season.
And he has. And you know what? It's a tough thing. I read my colleague over at The Athletic, Nate Taylor. He and Rustin Dodd both wrote fantastic pieces. Rustin Dodd, who works for The Athletic, a lot of you might know him from his Royals coverage when he's with The Star. Rustin is unbelievable. I mean, he's the best in the business. You don't see a lot of really great beat reporters who grind like he does and are also fantastic writers. Anyway, they wrote about, you know, some of the comments that Dee Ford made after the game, and you could tell he was just heartbroken. He just repeated over and over, "I've got to see the ball there." And so, like, the people, be the first one to say, the vitriol towards Dee Ford, let me tell you, I bet you that's keeping him up at night. I guarantee you.
Well, I'm sure. And honestly, I didn't realize that. According to Reed, you know, officials generally in that situation will warn you ahead of time.
They generally will. That's quite true.
I did not know that.
Yeah. You see that occasionally.
That's a new one to me.
Yeah, that's a tough thing, especially you're right there on the edge. I mean, and, you know, it's just one of those things, especially with the left tackle was actually kind of lined up off the line of scrimmage. That could have been one where the ref just let it go. Just a quick conspiracy theory fans, I've rewatched. The ref threw the flag the moment the ball was snapped. He was looking at Ford, knew he was lined up offsides, and he threw the flag. So it's not like it only happened once the pick. But, I mean, look, here's the reality of it all. And this is both a Zen statement and a, wow, this makes me want to throw myself into a mulch producer statement. Which is, you know, it's fascinating. You can have both of those things. The Chiefs won the game on that play. I mean, that was it. What is it, 59 seconds left? Pick.
You're not expecting a Rivers-type fumble from Mahomes?
I am not. Under center? I mean, that game was over with a 99.999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 razor thin margin. It does not, there is not a slimmer margin than that between victory and defeat. And that's how close the Chiefs were to the Super Bowl in the first year of Mahomes starting. Guys, you know what? And maybe people aren't ready to hear this yet, but this, now it's been a few days. And that's, I've waited a few days to publish articles because I learned my lesson last year after the Titans lost. People do not want to talk about it. It makes them angry. But I just want to say the Chiefs will have this chance again. The defense was almost historically bad this season. All they needed was a defense that didn't completely suck and they would have been fine.
Well, and I will make the argument that they're going to make improvements on the offense for next year.
I would be stunned if they were able to improve upon what was one of the best offenses in history. I'd be stunned.
I won't because they'll have more weapons. I think they're going to have more weapons next year than they had this year.
They might. I'm not sure where you add the weaponry. I'm genuinely not.
Wide receiver 3, which really is a big upgrade if you consider that Watkins missed how many games?
I would just say, I mean, I have a tough time seeing it. Because any kind of guy that's going to be a sure thing upgrade over Robinson is going to cost money, and they need money for the defense. I would be surprised. Now, Mahomes will be better, but teams will have time to look at him. One of the articles that I'm writing this week, Mahomes this year does have an Achilles heel. The cover zero exotic blitz looks are the only kryptonite in existence for Mahomes. I was hoping he'd be more prepared for it, but the Pats made him look silly again at times. And that's
you're going to hate me for this.
Oh boy.
I talked to Mark Schofield about that exact thing today.
Yeah.
Or yesterday for Tuesday's podcast. Yeah, that's a big thing. But here's the thing. We've seen time and time again this season, and we saw it early in the preseason. We saw it late in the year. He takes things that he struggles with, and he gets over them very quickly.
Oh, absolutely.
I fully expect he's going to figure that out.
I think he will. But the biggest thing, and we'll get into, we're going to be doing a truncated episode today, at least for me. before we get into that first break, that my biggest overall takeaway, because what I'd love to talk about after the first break, is ways we think the team can improve. Because yeah, it's time to face forward, right? And so this next minute and a half is our last gasp about the Patriots game. Does that work for you? I feel good about that.
Fine.
And if you want to check out theathletic.com, check out some of the stuff that I've written about Bob Sutton and why he needs to go. And we'll talk about that when we talk about the future too. So maybe we're not completely done talking about the Patriots game. About the 3rd and 10s, what that reveals about Bob Sutton. Also this stuff about Patrick Mahomes. It's probably worth your time reading because it is important stuff. But here's the biggest thing. It's going to be fine. It really is. This doesn't feel like every other year where it's like, oh, the Chiefs missed their window. They have Patrick Mahomes. They were down 3 with 32 seconds left and the ball on their own 31 and they tied the game. That's what it means to have Patrick Mahomes. They were down 14-0, and in the blink of an eye, they were back in the game. They put up 31 points in the second half against the Pats. 31 points.
Did you hear that he talked about after the game or at halftime that they were going to put up 30 points in the second half?
I saw that. That's who you have at quarterback. A guy that after a terrible first half in the most high-pressure game of his life was saying to guys, we're going to put 30 on him in the second half. That's who Patrick Mahomes is. If you think he is not going to put an insane amount of work into improving at identifying and protections against blitzes, you're crazy. We're going to take a quick break. Now we're going to face forward. We know it's going to be fine. We're going to take a quick break and start facing forward. First things first about facing forward, Christopher, the venerable Christopher Clark.
Yes.
Bob Sutton, yay or nay?
Is that even a question?
You know,
I mean, honestly, I've been nay for quite a while, true. And I still think, I mean, I'm not going to say that that's changed, right. But what I will say is, it is almost impossible to ask any defense alive, it doesn't matter how good they are, to play 97 snaps and think they're going to get any kind of stops in overtime.
I can see that to an extent. The problem is the stops that they gave up that they didn't get in overtime and that they didn't get in the fourth quarter, it's not like they were just getting, you know, gashed up the middle. There were some basic, and again, check out theathletic.com. By the time you're listening to this, this article should be up.
And I guess I'll clarify my statement.
No way. I want to argue with the non-clarified version. No, go ahead.
No, I'm sure you do. No, I just want to clarify and say what I mean by that is you're not going to get pass rush at 97 snaps.
Well, and they didn't get pass You're rush pretty much the whole game. Houston got there a few times.
Well, that's true.
Houston got there a few times. You know who was absent most of the game? D Ford. Yep. And I
well, I wish he would have been absent one other play. Yeah. But,
someone commented that D Ford could have literally not played and the Chiefs would have been better off. Which, I mean, he didn't pressure the quarterback much. He got run out a few times. And look, Ford has had a great season. I hope they franchise tag him because he's talented. He's a good pass rusher, made a really big leap forward. Maybe he'll do it again this next year, especially under the franchise tag. So, that I mean, that's the first things first. You don't lose the talent you've already got. This is a team that was an offsides penalty from the Super Bowl. You don't blow it up. You hear people say, blow up the defense. No, 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 no. Build the defense. Don't blow it up. Keep the talent you have as best you can and then add more. But then we were talking about Sutton. The reality is...
Well, but the bigger key is the reality, and the reality of it to me is, yes, Sutton needs to go, but if you don't bring somebody in that's going to maximize the talent that you already have, it doesn't matter.
It matters. It matters that they don't completely suck. I mean, that's
well, yes, but they're not maximizing. They're not using their players to their maximum abilities. Right. You can't tell me that Anthony Hitchens is as bad as we've seen him.
Well,
this
we
year.
Know he's not because we've seen him.
We've seen him better.
We've seen him better in another system, and that's my point. You know, people want to talk about the talent on the defense and that kind of stuff. Here's the long and short of it. The reality is, based on the tape that we've seen on other teams and the tape that we've seen this year, the Chiefs have multiple players on defense who are capable of being contributors. Some that are capable of being stars. And what we saw with Sutton, and this was actually interesting. One of my colleagues from The Athletic tweeted about this. The Patriots coaching staff and the Patriots players after the game, they threw what could be seen as some shade at Sutton, where they basically said, look, this wasn't complicated. We went to the line of scrimmage with two play calls, and Brady was usually able to, you know what they were running. And if the play call we had didn't work for it, he called the other one. They didn't have a single negative play. Or maybe they had one all game in, what, 94, 97 snaps?
Yeah, and that's a big problem because you take away the Arrowhead advantage when you don't have to try to audible to something
Absolutely.
Else.
Well, and it just – the reality of the situation is Sutton's defense does not – I mean, disguises well at times, but all the stuff that we saw against the Colts, a ton more stunts up front, more aggressive blitzing on certain things, more aggressive man coverage across the board, safety's playing a little shallower – all this stuff that we saw against the Colts was suddenly just gone. In overtime, they had the safeties playing 20 yards off the line of scrimmage. Or not even in overtime. On that last drive, they're dying the death of 1,000 paper cuts, or should I say 1,000 10-yard passes to Julian Edelman, and the safeties are still playing 20 yards off the line. Here's the deal. And in a game like that, in a situation like that where there's 2 full minutes left and you still have some timeouts and all that fun stuff, you know what is better for you than death by 1,000 paper cuts? One big play. And yep. That's what I feel like Andy Reid maybe should have intervened there. And I don't think Reid personally understands this. What you do there, you flood those shallow zones, you play aggressive. And if you get beat over the top, well, then you get the ball last.
Yeah, and you have a chance to go down and score, and Mahomes got him to, what, the 20-yard line with 11
Absolutely.
Seconds left?
Absolutely. And so that was with 32 seconds and one timeout.
Yeah.
And that's where you got to figure this stuff out. And Sutton instead played to not give up anything big over the top. That conservative. Everyone thinks, well, Andy Reid gets conservative in close games. No, Bob Sutton does. And that was just one of those things where it's like, no, you either lose big and then that gives you the ball back because you got it done quickly. How many times do you have to see that? And with Mahomes, you know you can get down the field in a minute. You know you can get down the field in 30 seconds. And so that was the scheme that they ran, and it was the same stuff. The same stuff. I had my brother-in-law ask me. He knows football pretty well, but he was asking me because for whatever reason, my family thinks I know football. And he's just like, man, are they hitting that same spot against the zone? I mean, what is that? Is that like the 7th or 8th time this has happened in this game? And I couldn't argue with him. How many times do we need to see Edelman get the ball in the exact same spot, in that exact same hole, in that exact same cover 2 shell? before some kind of adjustment gets made.
Obviously more than
yeah,
we thought.
Yeah, clearly the number is infinity. So Sutton needs to be gone. And so I spent a little time ranting. Clearly I'm not as over it as I thought I was. So let me ask you this, Chris, or Christopher. What do you think of the talent on defense? Swap out Sutton for a more aggressive, let's say, a defensive coordinator who is average. Do you think the defense has the talent to be average next year?
Without a doubt.
I like it.
To me, Xavier Williams is going to be better next year than he was this year in this defense. But so is Derek Nnadi, and I think Nnadi played very well. Chris Jones is obviously Chris Jones. I think he gets an extension this offseason. Linebacker-wise, I think Ford and Houston are both back. Houston may be restructured. Raglan's obviously probably still here, and Hitchens plays better if he's going to be more aggressive and he doesn't have to think as much. And then on the back end of the defense, assuming Barry is back, which I have a hard time believing he's not considering the cap repercussions if he's not, you would have to think that, a starting combination of Barry and Sorensen and Fuller and Ward and maybe another CB. I mean, maybe you have two starters that you really need upgrades at. I mean, and maybe you could say there's three. But yeah, I think this defense is really close to being average if they have an attacking style. This style is never going to work with the players they have.
Right.
It doesn't fit. You have one of the best pass rushes in the NFL, and you don't use it.
That's tough to watch.
At times.
Well,
and how many times did we see Sutton – how many times in the past 5 years has Sutton blitzed not linebackers, but safeties or corners? I don't remember seeing hardly any of those this year.
Right. Very, very, very rare. Absolutely. And that's the big takeaway from a lot of people this season is that had they been even remotely competent on defense, maybe this is the year. But we're going to roll into – I want to talk a little bit about personnel in our final little stretch here as we look forward, kind of a quick and dirty plan. And so we're going to take one more break, and then we are going to fix the Chiefs in 2 minutes or less. All right, Christopher, you have – the power of Brett Veach. Actually, you know what? Let's be honest. We all know. You have the power of Andy Reid. Because let's be real. I respect Brett Veach, and I think Andy Reid does too. But come on. Andy Reid ran the show when Dorsey was here, and he runs the show now. That's just the reality of the situation. You are given carte blanche to fix the Chiefs and get them back to the AFC Championship game at Arrowhead next year, only this time walk away the winner. What are three moves that you make, not including canning Bob Sutton? So you've canned Bob Sutton, hired some defensive coordinator. Go. Personnel, what do you do? Three moves.
Well, honestly, it's really tough to say because draft-wise, it depends on who's there at the bottom of the first round. Although you look at defensively, I don't know that you're really going to have a lot of money to go spend on some big-time defenders. Corner, maybe you go out and spend money, but I think you can get a corner in the draft. So for me, I'm looking at other pieces that maybe you can find that you won't find in the draft that can really come in and step in and help at different places. To me, that's going to be offensive line depth. That's also going to be maybe in the form of a secondary tight end for Travis Kelce because Demetrius Harris is a free agent and hopefully he's gone. And then honestly, defensively, it really just depends on who's on the market and what you're going to have left after Jones and Hill, because those two, I think, are going to get re-signed this offseason. And if you take those two into account and Ford, you're going to be close to using up most of the cap space that they've already got. So, going to be kind of questionable.
They resign. Wait a minute. Run that by me again. They're gonna spend most of the cap space they got if they sign who?
Ford is $15 million. Uh-huh. I saw they have 35. Now maybe I'm wrong on the number.
Yep, 36.
36. Okay. So how much is the bonus going to be for Hill? How much is the bonus going to be for Chris Jones?
I don't know.
Because their salary isn't much next year.
So you think they're going to do Hill and Chris Jones?
Yep.
This offseason?
Yep.
Okay. So they re-sign Hill and Chris Jones. So how much do you think that takes up in the first year?
That's what I don't know. I don't know how much you're going to give guaranteed. It could be Odell Beckham money to Hill. And Chris.
Right, but in that first year, that's still not going to eat up $20 million between the two of them.
I would hope not. But, okay, so you if you eat at 15, you're still at 5, and they like to have 5 as operating space. I'm not saying they can't go make moves. I'm just saying
sure.
I think that those two are their priorities, and they get done. And I guess if you want my moves, those are the first two moves I make, because you get those two under contract, everything else can work itself out.
So you've added no talent to the team, Chris. I'm very disappointed. No, I'm kidding. So your biggest priority is keeping the band together.
I'm looking at the draft. Because I don't think...
Man, you want to count on some rookies in 2019?
I'm not saying you're going to have to count on rookies in 2019. It depends on the position. Honestly...
I'm having fun.
Yeah, I know you are. And go right ahead, and I'm sure I'm going to hear it on Twitter. But I don't know who's going to be there at 29. I don't know who's going to be there. You know, the top four picks, they have four picks in the top 100. I do think they get a starter or two out of the first two picks.
Man, that would be impressive. That would be impressive. And obviously you've got guys that can develop and et cetera. I am going to be a little bit sexier.
I'm sure you are, because I know where you want to go. Okay.
If it is not cut and taken from this and somehow put in some kind of song form that you are certain that I'm going to be sexier than you, I don't even know what we're doing with ourselves if we don't create some kind of soundbite about that. Here, what direction
Ryan,
am I going?
I
might even switch to Team Ryan if Ryan does that. So you know what direction I'm going. What direction am I going, my friend?
I think you're going Team Earl Thomas.
You are absolutely correct, my friend. And here's why. Because Daniel Sorensen is one of the few players that the Chiefs can cut and save a little bit of cash on. And all the Chiefs need, not all they need. They need lots of things. But if you keep the band together on defense, draft primarily defense, hope you get more development. Dorian O'Daniel, I think he makes a difference against the Patriots out
Me
there.
Me too.
Derek Nnadi looks solid. Armani Watts was starting to flash before he got hurt. Now, it might seem weird to get a safety when I think Armani Watts is flashing, but they need three safeties. Eric Murray ain't doing it for me. And so,
what about Jordan Lucas?
What about Jordan Lucas? I'm perfectly fine with Jordan Lucas, but he doesn't move the needle for me. Okay. You know what I mean? He is a guy. He looked good compared to a bunch of very, very, very poorly performing players. And I believe he's a free agent as well.
No, he's not. He's an EFRA.
So he's a free agent.
No, he's exclusive rights. Or at the
What's
very
the last two words there,
he's not a free agent. He's exclusive rights, which means it's the team. He can only sign with the Chiefs. I believe he might be a restricted free agent, and I'm sure they tender him regardless. So he will be a Chief next year.
See, I'm not sure they will. They might, they could, they should maybe even, because that could be a good deal. But here's the reality of the situation here. You've got a team with a good pass rush that couldn't quite get it done in coverage. Safety is a place you can address that corner. To me, Earl Thomas just makes too much sense. Way too much sense.
What kind of deal?
Say again?
What kind of deal are you giving him?
A big one.
And see, that's where I wouldn't risk it.
You know, scared money don't make money, Chris.
I get it.
Because right now, they are at a certain window. They need to take advantage of that window. And here's the deal. You can probably get Earl Thomas for cheaper than you're going to get a guy of similar game-changing capabilities at corner. And so for me, it's a choice between the two. And to me, well, I'm guessing they're keeping Barry around. I assume he's probably going to have off-season surgery. I'm guessing they keep Barry around, as ugly as things may get because of the finances of everything. I think Barry's a Chief next year, and I think if you have Earl Thomas and Eric Berry as your safety tandem, I think you can build a defense from the back up, as well as from the front back with the pass rush that they have. Earl Thomas was one of the best defensive players in football before he got hurt this year. He's generally been around. Then he freakishly breaks his leg. I think it changes the entire season for the Chiefs if they manage to trade for him. We know they're interested. We know Veach has a history of going after guys that he previously wanted to trade for. And obviously, if he was going to trade for him, maybe as much as a second-round pick, he thought they'd have the money to go to extend him. So that's the direction I would go. That is my get a new defensive coordinator, get Earl Thomas, keep the rest of the band back together, draft some pass rushers up front, maybe draft some inside linebacking talent. Although to me, I think Dorian O'Daniel and Anthony Hitchens are the future at inside linebacker. So maybe draft a ton of corners, whatever. I don't care. A ton of corners might be a good call. But I would focus almost exclusively on the defense because that offense – they got a bunch of players in place already. That offense, you can basically stand pat on that for another year. That would be that's my quick and dirty 2-minute fix is basically get a new defensive coordinator, get yourself an elite talent on the back end and profit.
And spend $25 million on safeties in 2019.
Okay. Yeah. Why not?
Okay.
Let's get crazy. This idea that, like, you know, positional value is certainly important, but you got to look at the player, not the position. You know, certain positions aren't as valued unless it's a player that you can do anything with, a player that actually changes the game. And Earl Thomas is one of them. And so I'm
with you. If I fully believed, and I will say this is where you lose me on Earl Thomas. If I fully believed he could play at a healthy level for the next 3 seasons, without a second hesitation, I would go and sign him.
Well, there you go.
I don't know that he can stay healthy for the next 3 seasons.
I think he has most of his career. Or is it just because he's like 29 or so?
Well, he's broke the same leg twice in the past 3 years.
Sure.
So that is a huge concern for me. But I get what you're saying. And so, I understand why you want to do it. I'm hesitant on that, especially with Barry back there and not knowing whether or not how he's going to return from his off-season surgery that I'm assuming he has.
Yeah, one would assume at this point we've been through enough. You know, maybe next year we finally get a fully healthy all-season Eric Barry. Wouldn't that be a sight? And of course, that brings us to our time limit for the day. There's so much. We're going to have all offseason talk about what we would do, how we would fix the Chiefs. There's going to be my ideas, which are just amazing, and Chris's ideas, which are always going to be worse than mine. It's just a fact of life. I'm excited, man. This is going to be a fun offseason because I think the Chiefs are going to be right back in the driver's seat. I think they'll be a Super Bowl favorite. And I think they're going to have an aggressive offseason because I think 2019 was always the year. And Mahomes just accelerated the schedule a little bit. And so, yeah. People should do that. Well, that's the episode that we've got for you. Thank you so much for listening. I just appreciate each and every one of you. Chris, I appreciate you too, man. We will be talking to you fine folks soon, and hopefully next time with Ryan to serve as a buffer between Chris and myself as we knock each other's ideas out from underneath us. Thanks for listening. Have a great one, Chiefs Kingdom.